Welcome back to Dysfunctional Channel. I am Jesus Figueroa at Dysfunctional of Dysfunctional.com, and today I'm going to get to chat with Desiree Staples from the TV pilot It's What She Would Have Wanted. It's What She Would Have Wanted was written by Marie Selma. Desiree Staples, whose most recent short, The Influencers, garnered several wins on the film festival circuit, appears as Steph and also serves as executive producer. The film centers around Maggie, played by Marie Selma, who welcomes four of her oldest friends back home after the unexpected death of one of their own. She convinces them to fulfill a childhood pact, destroy all evidence of their friends' most embarrassing secrets. Their plan proves less than foolproof when long-buried resentments begin to rise and the group realizes Maggie is dealing with more than the loss of a friend. Check out the interview.
Congratulations on this project. I saw it last night.
Oh, good. Thanks for watching.
It was hilarious, and yet I thought I want to see a lot more of this.
Yay!
How difficult is it to take on a project like this? Because it's a very dark subject matter.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think what was fun with this one, and I don't know if Deborah told you, but I've done a few. This is probably one of my more dramatic pilots that I've worked on. But it was really important to us. The main thing with this one was we wanted a whole female cast, you know, and a very female-centric story. Nate, who's the director, and Marie, the writer, had this just really interesting idea of these gals making this pact, which we do as children. We do so many like crazy, right, imaginative, weird things, I think, as kids. And one that was like, well, if any of us go missing or passed away or something happened to us, this is what we do. And when that actually happens, especially, you know, and I think we all struggle with this as like adults or young adults, of your friends in middle school are probably not necessarily your closest people anymore in your mid to late 20s and after that. And kind of how do you appreciate those friendships without feeling like you've lost something? So a lot of fun themes, I think, to play with, for sure.
Definitely. And having a cast like this, because you guys all seem like amazingly close friends, how difficult is it to get that type of relationship dynamic between everybody?
Great question. That's good to know, because all of us are we adore each other, but we didn't know each other very much. Although Marie, who also wrote the piece, she plays Maggie. I don't know if you saw that. And I know her. I've known her for a while. And actually, Nate, the director, Marie, who plays Maggie, myself, Lindsay, who's the redhead in the film, a very sweet one, and five other producers, PAs. We all went to college together. So we all went to Northwestern in Chicago. So I will say, I guess with Marie and Lindsay and I, we all knew each other before for a while. And then Kimya and Chris are just so such funny. Kimya, who plays Julia, one of the funniest actresses I know. Chris, such great sarcasm, dry wit. So I think really Nate was trying to find five really different gals, you know, to kind of form this ensemble. So I think that was maybe what came across on screen, is we're all just very different personalities. So putting us together was really fun. And it was cool, you know, we actually filmed it in my childhood house. That is the house I grew up in. So all the pictures, I have one in here actually, of the girl who's Deb is actually me. But you can't really tell. Yeah, because I was more dark, more meta darkness, because I was blonde back then. But it was cool that, yeah, all of us just got to hang out in this house for 3 days and film this movie.
Some of the stuff that comes up in this, the secrets that come up are, extremely out there. How do you find a way to react to this and not make it seem fake?
Well, I'm glad once again that it hopefully didn't seem that way. It didn't seem fake. It sounds like, which is good. You know what? We did, I will say, behind the scenes scoop of It's What She Would Wanted. We talked a lot about the secret. It was at first, I want to say, well, I won't spoil it for the viewers, but we had another version that was close to it, but not as bizarre or extreme, I would say. But that was really important to us too, that it not just be your typical, you know, my friend is having relations with a boyfriend. You know, the things that we wanted to do something that people hadn't seen before and weren't going to guess. And I think we did that in the very least.
Definitely. I know when I got to it, I was really caught off guard. How was it for you reading the script and getting to that part?
Yeah, no, I'm being executive producer of this too. We talked about it a lot because I was like, is it believable? Can we make this believable? And I think once again, it went back to these themes of complex friendships and the whole thing with Deb, which hopefully we would explore in future episodes, is that she, you know, that the past 3 years, she hasn't been as close to the girls, that she's kind of the one that stayed home and all of them went off into careers. That we wanted to play with that too, of like, you know, people's, especially someone that lives in LA and grew up in Orange County, of like, what is success and what does success mean to different people, and Deb sort of being kind of the simplest one of the group and what that meant. So it kind of made sense in a weird way that if she's this kind of one who feels like the outsider, that maybe she gets involved with someone that just happened to be in the vicinity. So I was very shocked by it as well. But I thought it was very cool that I hadn't seen anything like that before, and just adds to how are these girls going to deal with that and set that up, hopefully, the rest of the series.
Taking on multiple tasks to make this, how easy was it to kind of get what you wanted out of this project?
Yeah, another great question. Well, I was really lucky. Nate, the director, came to me. I just finished my other pilot, The Influencers, and another short, and he came to me with this idea and said, hey, it's this women-centric story, which I'm really passionate about, and showing, you know, a diverse female cast and female stories that we don't often see. And he said, you know what, I got there's a girl for you, that's perfect, Steph, and but I'd love for you to produce it too, because I know what I'm doing there. And I was talking to another friend about this today, it really worked out of producing and acting are really, at least for my brain, they're really symbiotic, like, because executive producing and producing is all about the creative, right? So it's all about, which is what I love. I love finding the cast. I love finding the crew. I love from, you know, whether it's the first AD to the props, making this kind of amazing team together from all my previous projects and going, oh, you know, that puzzle excites me creatively, with the business side of, okay, how do we literally get 30 people here on this day at this time with the equipment that we need and film this movie in this crazy, 72 hours, right? Or less than 72 hours. But what's nice about producing is once you actually get to set and have set everything up, maybe that's why they call it set, because you set it all up. Anyway, maybe. Then I get to wear the acting hat, and that actually works. You know, we see it a lot, like a lot of, I want to say Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson. I feel like a lot of people produce and act. And I was very lucky. My producers, Andrew Tolbert, who's incredible, Britta Rowings, and Addison Hyman, and Nate as well, and Marie, really our whole core team, were really great at taking the tasks that once I was in acting mode, you know, letting me be Steph and taking all the work while I was in acting mode, because that's something that gets a little difficult. And it's really myself usually where I'm like, you know, I'm acting and then I go, oh, but I need to be producing this. So that's the biggest challenge, I think, of what I'm working on still is being able to let go when I'm in acting mode and accept like, okay, I'm the only one that can be Steph. The other people can help produce.
Having done this so much before, has it become easier to wear both hats, or are you able to kind of take your acting job as more of a way to relax from the producing side of it?
That's a yeah, that's a really good way to put it. Yeah, I think so. It does become easier over time because I think the more movies you're on, there's always a fire to put out. There's always a huge obstacle. There's a piece of equipment that doesn't work or someone that can't make it, you know, and you just, I think the first couple sets when those kinds of things happened, I was totally shocked. And now it's like, okay, here's, let's find a solution. You know, it's all about, and we were really lucky with this cast and crew too, that everyone was so amazing about, you know, just hunkering down and all hands on deck and whatever we can think of, let's do it, let's do it, let's do it. And it was nice because we had one location, which was kind of amazing too. And a lot of people staying at the house, it was really fun. It was like a big slumber party. But it's funny that you say that because I'm working on a movie that I'll be producing it in next year, probably, and it's the main role. And I'm one of the main producers. I have four other producers, which is great. But I guess so, because now I'm just like, let's even make it harder.
Wow.
Yeah.
With the pandemic, you can't be there with an audience when they watch it. How does that affect you as a producer and as an actor?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's been tough. You know, it's been cool. I'm sure, you know, they sent to you that we were in Mill Valley Festival actually just until yesterday. We are in LA Shorts, on shameless plug, until the end of the month, October 31st. And we're in Catalyst Content also until the end of the month, October 31st. It's totally been a blessing and a curse, you know, a total blessing in disguise of never have I been involved with so many festivals at the same time. So that's cool. But also I wouldn't have been able to fly to, you know, we were in Nashville too. So Nashville to Mill Valley to Catalyst to LA Short, you know, I would have had to choose to. And it's really nice that virtually you literally can go to them all and you can be at two places at one time. If you have a Zoom on your computer and a Zoom on your phone, you literally can, which is a new thing. But you are right. I think that has been the biggest challenge. And even I was just doing a little screening with some of my friends last week who hadn't seen it. And that was like, oh my gosh, you know, here are the laughs, here are people going to laugh. So it is, I'm just learning with my little small pods of people, what moments people are most drawn to or think are most funny or shocked by. So it'll be really nice. I am hopeful that, you know, we just started our circuit, our festival circuit in July, that will go at least for a year, if not a year and a half. I know some films go up to 2 years. So it'd be really nice to get some in-person theatrical just for that reason. So we can go, okay, what is hitting people? How funny is this really? How darkly funny are people thinking that it is? So fingers crossed that sometime mid next year that'll happen.
I can see that gauging an audience is definitely something that all filmmakers want to do. Is there any film festivals that you are very much looking forward to for this to be shown at?
Ooh, well, yeah, really excited. LA Shorts is amazing. I love Catalyst because that film festival really focuses on episodics themselves, and they're a really great incubator for that. And once again, you know, I feel like this series is kind of similar to Search Party, kind of got a Dead to Me vibe, but I love this age group. I love the late 20s to late 30s group because I feel like we don't see that again a lot. Like, I feel like there's a lot of young women and then somehow they become mothers and what we see in film and television. So exploring this young to almost mature adult age group, which would be really fun. And letting us misbehave, I think, is a huge part of the film as well. And be inappropriate and say what's on our mind and no filter and these kind of like really, you know, dark, intense conversations when, if I can say, shit gets real when shit gets real, you know, and I love exploring that for sure. So Catalyst, really excited about developing and continuing to develop the series. LA Shorts is just such a renowned, so many filmmakers got their start there. What else? Oh, and Mill Valley was amazing. That's another one. You know, James Franco's been there. So many people have been there. We are applying. So we're just submitting to Tribeca and South by Southwest. I think both of those would be great, great places for it too. So fingers crossed. And Slam Dance. I love big Slam Dance fan. So we'll see. We are still very much at the beginning. And it's funny too, because usually it's, although it's less intense for shorts, but usually film festivals are really focused on the premiere and where it premieres. And here we still have our theatrical premiere to come because it hasn't really shown in theaters. So we've had our virtual premiere, but that's really interesting too about how all these festivals are going to navigate that, what really counts as a premiere versus an in-person premiere versus a virtual premiere.
Definitely. Well, thank you very much for your time. I hope the best for this because it is funny, and I really hope to see development in each of these characters because they all seem unique in their own way.
Yay. Well, thanks again for watching. And shameless plug again, we're LA Shorts through the end of the month, as well as Catalyst content. More to come. Oh, and you can follow us at myself, which is Desiree Staples, or at It's What She Would Have Wanted Film on the Instagram. So we just got that up and going. But thank you for watching and for enjoying and having me on. It means a lot, you know, as an independent filmmaker during this time to be able to connect. And I think that's the thing with these festivals, right? We just want to connect and right now, you know, I think it's so important content, right? Like we're already feeling with COVID, I feel like the lack of content that's out there and, you know, still wanting ways to, when we can only really, you know, I feel like in COVID, we can only communicate through technology for the most part. I mean, really, truly through Zoom or phone or Instagram, social media, whatever it is, you know, have these stories and characters to talk about and also escape from the craziness.
Definitely.
And give our brains a break. We need that. And a laugh. I mean, that is a huge part of the film too. And there's some really, really ridiculous moments, I think. And it's what she would have wanted. And we want to continue playing with that. And I think what would be fun for the future episodes is Deb's, it's fine now. We know Deb dies. Deb's death it's not really explained in the pilot what exactly happened. So we want to explore that and do a lot of flashbacks of the girls when they're younger. I think it would be really cool too. And I haven't seen that yet. So fingers crossed, but so glad you enjoyed. Thank you for sharing and promoting and supporting women and diverse filmmakers.
Once again, It's What You Would Have Wanted is currently playing at the LA Shorts International Film Festival until the end of the month, October 31st. Make sure you like this video, subscribe to this channel, follow me online, dysfunctional.com, at dysfunctional on Twitter, Instagram, dysfunctionalLA on Facebook, and at dysfunctional on Snapchat. Thanks for tuning in and